from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Time to feed you some football. It's NFL Lunch on Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. My guy, Quick Draw McGraw, behind the glass. Vinny, let's go out to Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Ryan Kelly, longtime center, former Pro Bowl center for the Colts, longest tenure Colt at this point, entering his ninth season, says that the Colts have let him know that they don't plan to offer him an extension. He said he made it known that he wanted to stay. They wanted to have an extension, and the Colts said that they didn't see it as part of their priority. So this is a guy who started over 100 games, had a pretty good year last year, made his fourth Pro Bowl, looking like he's going to be testing the free agent market next year.
Yep, and that was all about the team. And the team knows more about him than we do. They know what he's like in the locker room. They know what he's like work ethic-wise. They know what he's like health-wise. That's probably what they see, is they see a decline, and then maybe he's had some health issues that they don't see that he's going to be long-term and worth the contract, or they don't want to have to pay a guy that's going to be in his mid-30s, and they probably feel pretty good about the guy who's going to replace him eventually.
Let's go out to San Francisco. Kyle Shanahan, head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. He was on the TK show, a podcast hosted by an athletic writer. And he said he had conversations with one Bill Belichick. It went as far as even offering him a job that Belichick had turned down. He said, I threw it out to him. He loves football so much that you never know. I can't believe that he's still not a head coach of a team right now. I know what I would do if I was an owner. So that shocks me. And the last thing you want to do is insult someone like Bill Belichick. But I know he just loves ball in its simplest form. So I threw it all out to him, whatever he wanted to do. I was like, would you be interested? And he was very nice and appreciative, but he politely turned him down. Not surprised by that. I don't know what role it would have been. I guess advisor, senior advisor, or
probably
dude, kind of whatever.
Yeah,
whatever he wants
whatever
to do.
Whatever you want to do, however you can help me, advise me. Probably a lot defensively, mm-hmm. I would think. But, you know, Belichick, he got that 24-year-old girlfriend now,
life.
You know. So he's dating a girl younger than Norm. How about that?
Yeah, that's a bit of a problem, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, look, whatever floats their boats, whatever the case
Bill
is.
Bill doesn't have time for football right now.
It seems like it. He loves the game. I mean, I saw he was out at University of Washington for a little bit this offseason, helping them in their practices
and
stuff.
His son's a D coordinator.
Right. So he loves the game. I'm sure he'll be around.
He's doing a lot of TV stuff.
Yeah, I'm still surprised he didn't get a job. I'm also surprised that Robert Kraft is out here kind of backstabbing them and giving them bad reviews to teams. I mean, what is that? Just, I still can't fathom that. But yeah, Bill Belichick turned down the opportunity to be kind of whatever he wanted to be.
Well, the thing about it, Cordell, and Norm, how about this? I mean, you're being paid $20-some million not to coach. So if you go work with one of these, you know, the money you get, you probably, it's offset by what Robert Kraft is paying you. So he'd probably say, screw it, man. I'll make Kraft pay me. And I would imagine the TV money he makes, he gets to keep.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets to spend time with his girlfriend.
It's kind of a win-win.
Yeah.
I mean, he can test the media waters, figure out if that's really what he wants to do moving forward. And if he still wants to coach, the offers will be there again next offseason.
All right. And Cordell, imagine he's doing Viagra commercials, huh?
I'm sure he's doing a lot these days, not including football. Let's go out to Dallas, talk about some holdout guys. CeeDee Lamb, he's awaiting his extension. Looks like he's going to be holding out at the start of Cowboys training camp. Sources are reporting that CeeDee Lamb is not expected to report to training camp. Big deal right now with these guys holding out. We got CeeDee Lamb holding out. We got Jordan Love holding out, it seems like, out in Green Bay. Is that a big deal these days?
Well, Jordan Love's holding in, so he's in all the meetings and all that, so all he's missing is a little practice. So I'm guessing that Green Bay told the agent, unless he's here, we're not going to negotiate a deal kind of thing. And with CeeDee Lamb, I mean, Cordell, that's another one that, like, same as Chase, that shouldn't be that difficult, or Norm, shouldn't be that difficult to figure out what you're going to pay the guy. And you just got to want to. They don't want to pay anybody.
Right.
All their coaches are in one-year deals. So, you know, and who knows if there's not a wink, wink, hey, Bill, if my guy, you know, has a bad year, you're in. So I think Belichick will have a job, probably the Cowboys' job. But I don't think anybody can figure out what the Cowboys are doing.
Let's stay in the NFC East. I'm seeing a lot of reports from a lot of the reporters that are out there from the Commanders training camp. Their training camp started today. Today's their first practice. And a lot of glowing reviews for Jaden Daniels. And we've seen a lot of these rookie quarterbacks over the years kind of take the league by storm. Quite a few quarterbacks drafted in the first round this year. If somebody is going to be that C.J. Stroud, of the quarterback class this year and have the type of rookie year that he had, who do you feel like that would be?
Well, it's not going to be Drake May. He's not going to be playing.
At least not to start.
I would say Daniels or Williams, one of those two. The only thing about Williams, Cordell, is he got a ton of good skill players around him, man. So I could say Williams would be that guy just because he's got running backs. They fixed the offensive line. He's got a pretty good defense. He's got, you know, a lot of good receivers. So I'll say Caleb Williams.
Out in the NFC North, we know last year the Detroit Lions went on to the NFC Championship game, losing to San Francisco on the road. We had Green Bay beat Dallas in the wild card game, lose to San Francisco in the divisional round. Minnesota, they're still a work in progress right now. We just talked a little bit about the Bears drafting Caleb Williams, but they've had one of the bigger off seasons out of any team in the NFL right now. Who are you feeling the most in the NFC North?
Until somebody beats Detroit, I'm going to say Detroit. You know, and Cordell, they were, what, 14 points ahead of San Francisco? They could have easily been in the Super Bowl, and they have most of their people back, and they fixed some of the holes. I'm going to say Detroit.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of feeling Green Bay a little bit, and maybe I'm sipping the juice from the way that they ended last year. You talk about Detroit having San Francisco's number in that NFC Championship game until they didn't. I mean, Green Bay had them, too,
same
in
thing,
the divisional round. Had them, too. So I'm kind of buying in into Jordan Love taking another huge step this year. I like the young weapons that they put on display last year. The hope is that Christian Watson won't have to start the year injured. And if he's able to give them a full year, I think they'll be really good. But I like the Packers right now. The Bears are kind of that dark horse. They have a lot of talent, but still the Bears in my mind.
What you're hoping is if you're a Chicago fan, that your Bears become the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're hoping, that it all kind of comes together and the quarterback it really takes charge of it and your defense is good. So, I mean, could the Bears be a player? You know, I could see the Bears. I mean, if all things went good, maybe they go 9-8 type thing, which would be a good...
It's not terrible.
Yeah.
Let's go out to Carolina. Bryce Young, number one pick last year, didn't have the great rookie year that he wanted to have. A lot of, I think, reasons for that. A lot of moving pieces in Carolina. Owner probably a little too involved.
Couple of different coaches.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to have success in that type of scenario. But with Bryce Young, I thought he finished the season on a high note. It's not hard to look better than he did for the most part of the season. But what do you think about Bryce Young in year two?
I think he's going to have a much better year. You know, he's got Canales, as you know, will be his coach, who did a great job down in Tampa. Look at what he did with Geno, and then look at Geno's drop-off.
Right.
And then look what he did with Baker.
Yeah.
And we'll see what Baker does. And if he can do the same thing with Bryce Young, and they've helped the offensive line some. Their offensive line was pitiful last year. They had no run game. All they did was get sacked all the time. So I think he's going to have a better year where Carolina says, I think we got our guy.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, the Ravens, their training camp has been underway since Sunday. They're back at it later on this afternoon at 1:40, getting practice underway. We'll see if Lamar Jackson is able to show up today, but we'll play you some more Ravens audio that we've gotten so far throughout camp. That's next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The question was, is Lamar any closer to returning, and John just says, yeah, you know, I mean, I guess he's closer, you know.
Right.
I that's how I took it. What, being there and watching how he said it, I took it as him just saying, yeah, I mean, I guess you could say he's closer. It's another day has gone by, so the hope is that he's gotten better. But who knows when Lamar will be able to be healthy enough to get back out there. John said the doctors have to clear him to, for that to happen, so we'll see if today's the day.
Yeah, and with an off day tomorrow, Cordell, I don't know if they're just better off just letting him come back Friday, which would be the first day of pads. I don't know if you want that, so maybe you, you know, let him get out there in shorts today. Well, we should know here in the next couple minutes, because the media is able to go out there in 3 minutes.
And I don't know why I was thinking it was at 140, definitely at 120 today for sure. So, yeah, we'll find out here before we get off air. Is it a big deal or little deal, no deal, that he hasn't been able to be there at camp just yet?
Well, it's somewhat of a deal, I think. I mean, if it was no big deal, then nobody would be practicing, you know. So the time that he's had and learning, because, you know, you could say, well, he was at the rookie camp for a week. Yeah, but now you got everybody there, and you're talking about, you know, communication and the things that you want to put in and working with Bateman and doing those kind of things. So, yeah, is it a big deal? No. Is, you know, I'd say it's a little tiny deal.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I am. It's the first week of camp. Obviously, you know, you want them all. You want everybody out there.
No doubt.
And this, the reason, I guess, it's not too major for me is, if he's sick, he's sick. You know,
right.
If it's one thing if he's just deciding to hold out and he doesn't want to show up or something like that, then we'd have a different conversation. But if he's sick, I mean, what are you going to do? Let's hear another cut here from John Harbaugh. We talked a lot about the cornerback depth earlier. Here's John Harbaugh talking about Pepe Williams and Jalen Armour-Davis.
Big year for both those guys, Pepe and Jalen. And they're both practicing so well right now. That's the thing. I'm excited. First 3 days in, they've both been excellent. Jalen's made numerous plays in the ball. Pepe hasn't had those chances, but he's been in the right spots all the time, moving well. Pepe's finally healthy. Jalen's finally healthy. So we'll see what they can do. But I'm very confident that they're going to do well.
Yeah, I think Jalen Armour-Davis has definitely made the most of his opportunities. Pepe is, it's not that Pepe hasn't been good. It's just that, and John kind of alluded to it, he hasn't been involved in a lot of plays, so it's kind of like he's not popping out to you. Armour-Davis is flashing to me.
All right, well, let me ask you this, because Pepe, you know, is a safety, and we've been talking about Kyle Hamilton. We've been talking about Eddie Jackson, talking about Marcus. Why? They show up and make plays.
Uh-huh.
So if everybody else playing that position can show up and make plays, why don't you?
Uh-huh.
That's my whole. And let me just say this. Out of University of Houston, I like Pepe.
Me too.
And you know what? Pepe's probably not going to show up, Cordell, till the pads come on, because he's a hitter.
Right.
And that's his biggest problem, is he's a small dude that loves to hit.
Uh-huh.
And that's just not good in the National Football League, because you're going to take a punishment.
Let's switch gears. Let's hear from Kyle Hamilton. We know Zach Orr is taking over from Mike McDonald as the new defensive coordinator for this team. Here's Kyle Hamilton talking about the vision under Zach Orr.
Just letting us go out there and play. I think that's such a big thing that can get lost sometimes in defenses, because it's a very ego-filled business sometimes. And not saying that within the Ravens, just stuff I've heard is just like, we're going to do our defense this way, and this is how you're going to do it, and this is how you're going to play, and this leverage you're going to play, and that's it. No ifs, ands, or buts. And I think Zio and everybody in the room has done a great job, just like I was saying earlier, like, what do you see this as? And I want you guys to be able to play fast. If I can simplify it for y'all and not trying to dress up everything to cover every single play that the offense has, and just let y'all play fast, y'all are good enough athletes to go take care of it. So I think that's something he's done really well with, and he just does a great job of just managing everything. I'm super excited for him.
Yeah, look, so far so good for the defense.
Oh, no, no.
They've dominated training camp to this point. I'm not going to ignore the fact that number eight not being out there probably plays a part in that for sure. But other than that, I mean, the guys are moving fast. Doesn't seem like a lot of mistakes are being had. And I've seen Zach Orr hold a couple of guys accountable. You know, I've seen him go and talk to him after plays, yell some stuff to him at the sidelines for sure. The respect is there. And it seems like the defense is it seems like a big emphasis has been on playing fast defensively.
Well, you can play fast when you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest thing is, and I think what the defensive coaches and what Harb's done for the last few years is they put the players in position to let them do what they do well. You know, I mean, is everybody going to let Hamilton do all the things that he does? So I really like what they do schematically, defensively, because you're letting Mallett do what he does. You know, you're letting Kyle Hamilton do what he does well. What does Marcus Williams do well? You know, all those types of things. So, yeah, I've been impressed. The biggest thing to me, I have one question with Zach Orr. How's he make adjustments against the Kansas City Chiefs? That's what I want to see.
And honestly, I'm not expecting it to be rough, but I'm expecting
he's going to have some hiccups.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I bring up Mike McDonald's beginning with the Dolphins game and the Bills game. I mean, that was
Kyle Hamilton was at a lot of that fault.
Well, Marcus Peters let us all know that because every play he's pointing at Kyle Hamilton after the fact. He's got something to say to Hamilton after each play. So, yeah, I mean, but Hamilton is a different player. Since then, clearly, and really not too long after that, Mike McDonald really figured it out on how to make those in-game adjustments. And we'll see if Zach Orr can do the same. Let's switch gears. Hear from Marlon Humphrey. You talked about Marlon looking slimmer. Here's Marlon talking about slimming down this season.
I kind of looked at the past, kind of looked at some of my better seasons, and I was a little bit lighter in those years. So decided to get around a little bit lower of a weight. I've been feeling moving pretty well at it, so we'll kind of see how I wiggles around with training camp. I've really been taking advantage of Sarah, our new nutritionist. I've been really trying to lean on the resources that the Ravens offer and do things kind of the right way instead of my usual, which is just like don't eat, which is just not the best route.
Yeah, that's probably not the best route. But yeah, I mean, a slimmer Marlon Humphrey, maybe that helps with the injuries. We'll see. But without a doubt, it passes the eye test. You can see
no
he
doubt.
Looks pretty spry. He looks really energetic out there.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, I mean, for an athlete that's going through training camp right now, just not to eat and do those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's about want to get tired and all that. So, no, that's a plus. But you know what athletes do is, you know, like he was hurt a lot this last year. So, okay, when I had my best years, you look at everything. What did I weigh? You know, all those, what was I doing different than I'm doing now and stuff? And, you know, one of the things that he came up with was I was a lot lighter and I moved a lot better. So let me try that. And so far, it looks like, you know, that was part of the problem.
Let's hear one more from Marlon Humphrey as he talks about his position as a safety.
Well, how I kind of envisioned my career, honestly, is kind of coming in the league was not how it should be. I always had this weird thing that I wanted to play for like six teams. And then I realized that's not cool at all to play for a lot of teams. So, but safety is something that I still think I'd end up doing one of these years.
And we haven't seen it yet. You know, the Ravens don't have a need for him no more. Definitely not anymore.
No.
With the addition of Eddie Jackson. And they added Darryl Worley the other day as well. So I don't think we'll see Marlon Humphrey as safety, at least right now. But we have seen that be the case for a couple of these veteran corners on the back end of their career. Now, Marlon is, we talked about it earlier, he's 28 right now. At times, you get this idea that Marlon is older than he is. But we have seen safeties corners, when it looks like they're starting to slow down a little bit, make that transition to safety, and it ends up buying them a couple of years.
Yeah, and it could. You know, and he's got, to me, he's got good instincts back there.
I think he'd be real good as a safety.
The only question I've ever had on Marlon Humphrey is deep ball skills, playing that deep ball.
Which playing safety should help. You could look at the ball as opposed to corner where you got your back turned.
Because he struggled at Alabama with that in college. So, yeah, I mean, could he play? I think he could. He's smart guy. He'll tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Let's grab a call before we go to break. Let's go to E in Park Heights. E, you're on the fan. Appreciate you holding.
Hey, Cordell, Vinny, what's up,
fellas?
How much?
Yeah, man, I was wanted to speak on the whole biggest threat to the Ravens day, man, a while back. But anyway,
man,
honestly, to me, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Why? Because, like you guys said, I mean, no matter the quarterback, no matter the coordinator, no matter what, those guys always lurking in the bushes somewhere. Like, I don't remember the exact number, right? But somebody said it like a couple shows ago in terms of the last 10 games, last 8 games we played them. But it was like 8-2 or 7-3 or something like that. And, I mean, that's despite the quarterback play. That's despite the coordinator and things of that nature, man. To me, Joe Burrow and them boys, yeah, Joe Burrow healthy, they're a good team, man. But they don't beat us as consistently as the Pittsburgh Steelers do, no matter the variables that they face year in and year out, man. So they are truly our nemesis. And that's why, for me, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers, man.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Ian. I agree with you for all the reasons you mentioned. Pittsburgh has been a team that has kind of made something out of nothing all these years. And now that it does seem like, at least on paper, that their roster has improved, I have to think that, you know, their record will improve at least a game or two.
I think in a little bit, you know, I think in a little way they were a little stubborn with the offensive coordinator. Like, Mike Tomlin wouldn't change the, like, I'm going to show you guys he can get it done, where he couldn't get it done. And maybe ownership made him change. Now he's got a hell of a coordinator in Arthur Smith. And if their offense is halfway decent, you know, like you talked about with the quarterback, if their offense can do things, their defense has always been pretty good. And a lot of times is their offense was so bad, the defense had to be on the field so much, they got guys dinged and banged up. So I don't disagree one bit. I think Pittsburgh's going to be a tough out.
Some news before we go to break. Lamar Jackson is at practice right now. Good. So he is back healthy. So training camp is fully underway now with QB1 in the building. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll bring in Brian Bacco, who covers the Pittsburgh Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We'll talk to him about what he expects out of this Pittsburgh Steelers team. And today's their first day at training camp. We'll talk to him about that quarterback battle going on, a lot of additions on the defensive side of the ball, all that and more next here on The Fan. It's my guy Brian Bacco from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. What's going on, Brian?
What's up, guys? I don't know if you can hear the aura, the ambiance behind me, but I'm on the bucolic campus of St. Vincent College here in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. A lot going on here. First day, report day for players. Ryan Shea here just rode past me on a bike. So, yeah, setting the scene for you out here about an hour east of Pittsburgh.
Nice, and we know they're getting on the field for the first time. And what's kind of the feel out there in Pittsburgh around this team this year? You've been able to upgrade the defense a little bit. You've added to the quarterback position, probably the best the quarterback position has been since Ben Roethlisberger was there. Does it feel like there's a different outlook on this year's Steelers team?
Yeah, I think there's some cautious optimism, maybe the best way to put it. I think a lot of people feel like they're in a better spot there than they were a year ago with Kenny Pickett, but people also have short memories. I mean, Kenny Pickett looked great last year in the preseason. So, I mean, and then it all went to, you know, it went south once week one rolled around. So we'll see. I think that, you know, for a lot of people, the jury's out on Russell Wilson and Justin Fields being behind him makes for an interesting dynamic here in camp. And we'll start to see it beginning tomorrow, mainly how Mike Tomlin's going to adjudicate those reps. Is it going to be a real competition, or is it going to be a lot of Russ and then a little bit of Justin? That's what all eyes are watching here in Latrobe, PA.
I think one of the biggest things that helped the Steelers this offseason, Arthur Smith, I think they've got stability now at offensive coordinator, and people believe and trust in the guy. Whereas last year, I felt sorry for the coordinator. I mean, that fan base wanted to kill that guy. You know, so I just think that it's going to be a much better offense this year.
Yeah, I mean, regardless of your thoughts of Matt Canada, the previous OC, and whether he was qualified to be an NFL play caller or not, I mean, his job only got tougher because of the scrutiny from the outside world, and the Steelers ripped that Band-Aid off midseason last year, which they never do in a position like that. And, yeah, hired Arthur Smith, a legit NFL guy who had a lot of success in that role with the Tennessee Titans before three, let's just say, mediocre years with the Falcons as their head coach. But maybe it'll be better for him being back in this position under Mike Tomlin. Certainly a lot of stability, certainly a lot of nice pieces to work with. And particularly when you look at his identity and what he'd like to do with his offenses, because this is going to be a run-first team, I think, with Najee Harris, Jalen Warren, and the investments they made to upgrade the offensive line this offseason.
Brian, you look at this defense, and we know that the Steelers were able to add guys like Patrick Queen from this Ravens team. What do you feel like Patrick Queen will be able to do for that Pittsburgh defense?
He should be able to stabilize it in the middle, give them more consistent and possibly more dynamic play at inside linebacker. I mean, that was a revolving door for them a year ago due to injuries. They were picking guys up off the scrap heap, signing guys off the street. They haven't really had a game changer there since the dude that I just mentioned at the top of the segment, Ryan Shazier. His career was unfairly cut short, and he's now helping coach for the Steelers, in some capacity. But Patrick Queen can be that type of guy, sideline to sideline, make plays. And we know how important stopping the run is in this division, particularly. And Nick Chubb on the schedule twice a year, Derrick Henry now on the schedule twice a year. I mean, I think that's what the Steelers were trying to shore up this year by bringing in Patrick Queen. And just from talking to him in OTAs and minicamp, guys, it seems like he's really assimilating to these teammates. And it's funny, he said he had to put aside some old rivalries from guys on the offensive side of the ball. Now they're with him. But we know for these three hot, sweaty weeks of training camp, at least, they're going to be banging heads again like they were when it was Ravens versus Steelers.
Hey, Brian, I tell you what, one of my favorite guys in the draft was Peyton Wilson. I think he's going to pay big dividends, and he's a perfect fit opposite Patrick Queen. You know, if he can just stay healthy, because he's a tackling machine.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the second draft in a row, Vinny, that Omar Khan hit it out of the park with Andy Weidel as his assistant GM, a former Ravens front office man himself. It's always a little bit dangerous to put too much stock into the drafts on paper, and we know the ones that get good grades tend to align with the media perception of it, but it just seems like two Aprils in a row, they've made smart picks. They've gotten good values on players who've slipped down the board for whatever reason, like a Peyton Wilson who had injury concerns and was an older six-year guy. I mean, he's going to be probably the defensive player that I'm watching the most in camp, because let's be honest, this unit, they should be elite. A lot of the other guys like T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, Minkah Fitzpatrick, even Patrick. I mean, what do they have to prove or show in this environment? That's going to start when the chips are down week one. But a rookie like Peyton Wilson, how is he taking to the speed of the NFL game? How is he matching that with his own athleticism and size? That's going to be really fun to check him out up here in his first, dipping the toe in the water of the NFL.
We're talking to Brian Bacco from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Brian, you Deontay Johnson, he's no longer in Pittsburgh. How different could this offense look without him being that guy playing in the at the slot position and outside at times?
Yeah, I mean, he was mostly outside. George Pickens is still going to be there. I mean, I think it's clear now that he's the alpha in the receiver room, and it might be kind of a by-committee approach behind him. I think, the tight end Pat Freiermuth, I think he's going to get a contract extension soon here. He's been banged up a lot, but, he could be the de facto number two receiver. And Arthur Smith's offenses in Tennessee and Atlanta have thrown over the middle of the field to the tight ends a lot. We'll see if that's a club that Russell Wilson still has in his bag at this stage of his career. But Pat Freiermuth, the matchup problem when he's healthy. And then the number two receiver competition, a lot of people in Pittsburgh are fretting over that. People want them to trade for Brandon Ayuk or Cortland Sutton. But they did draft Roman Wilson in the third round out of Michigan. We'll see how quickly he can get up to speed. And then they've got a couple of vets who've been around, like Van Jefferson and Quez Watkins. Maybe, all of those guys can be greater than the sum of their parts. And another one to keep an eye on, third-year player who's small but really fast, Calvin Austin III. Mm-hmm. I think they have, some plans for him to be more involved in the offense than he was a year ago.
Hey, Brian, I'll be anxious to see what my buddy Danny Smith does with the kickoff and kickoff return, how he manipulates through that and how they learn through that, because no special teams, and I was they don't know exact, they may have like a plan what they're thinking, but it's all going to change once they do it a few times.
Yeah, absolutely. And I it's so funny that Danny is still doing this at his age, and if there were ever a time
how's
to just
the
walk
shoulder
away and
that's
call it a career
thing. How's his shoulder?
he told us in the spring he hasn't even had the surgery yet. So, I mean, he's just, he just keeps on ticking. It's amazing the energy that he still brings. And like I was going to say, I mean, if there were ever a time to just walk away and, you know, look at what you've done, when they're changing this much in your phase of the game, it would probably make sense. But he says he's really looking forward to the challenge of the new kickoff rule. He thinks it's going to be better for the game because it kind of brings special teams back into it more. I mean, he was like, look, last year it'd be easy. You just call a fair catch every time. Nobody's going to make a bad decision, at least. People would just say, all right, that's the safe move. We'll get it from the 25 and go. Well, now there's more decision-making. There's more coaching that goes into it. And sort of an under-the-radar move by the Steelers this offseason was not offense or defense. It was bringing in the former All-Pro Cordarrelle Patterson, who's going to be their kick returner. I'm pretty sure of that. We'll see if he gets involved at all on offense, but, you know, NFL record for most kick return touchdowns. Does that translate to the way it's going to be now? I don't know, but I think Mike Tomlin's pretty comfortable having that guy back there.
Hey, Brian, you know what you need to do? When you go interview Danny Smith, just say, hey, gum guy. My kids used to call him Gum Guy all the time because he had a big container of bubble gum, and if you look at him, he's got a wad in his mouth all the time.
Yeah, he's always chewing it, and he'll be chewing it extra time now to figure out what's going on with these squib kicks, these screwball kicks. It's going to be fun, more fun than usual to watch the special teams period than Cam.
Brian, last thing for you. We know the quarterback position is a polarizing one now in Pittsburgh with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields out there. And the early thoughts is that Russell will be the guy. But what is your gut telling you about the future of Justin Fields? Could he end up taking over for this team?
Well, I think that'll be determined with how Russell plays in the regular season. I don't think there's going to be much of a competition in camp. I mean, how much are we even going to see of a guy like Russell Wilson in the preseason game? You got to take care of him and make sure he gets to week one. So I don't know that those two are really duking it out. And that's why I'm very curious to know Justin Fields' true mindset. You know, if you gave him some of that truth serum and really got him to speak about this situation, you know, there was chatter that he did want to come here. I think he even said that Chicago kind of did him a favor by sending him to Pittsburgh. He wanted to play for Mike Tomlin. But, you know, that all can be a little bit different once you're in it and you're not getting those first team reps that you're accustomed to. In camp, is it tough to stay engaged? He didn't talk today on arrival day for the players, but he did report a hoodie that says humble over hype. So maybe he's going to take a low-key approach to this and, yeah, just kind of bide his time. And if the bottom falls out for the vet, you know, that could be his big opportunity. But those are probably questions for weeks and months down the line. I think clearly Russell Wilson is the guy right now for the Steelers, for better or worse. And Justin Fields will remain intriguing, and people will still be you know, watching intently when he gets his opportunities on the practice field and in the exhibition games.
Brian, really appreciate your time, man. As always, great stuff. Let the people know how they can follow you and catch up on your work.
Yeah, just my name on X at Brian Batko or post-gazette.com/Steelers. We're going to have tons of content pumping out now once training camp is going.
Hey, Brian, tell Arthur and Danny Smith I say hello if you see them.
Oh, your old Washington connection. Yep. Yes, I will do that.
You know, Arthur Smith is worth more than any assistant coach in the NFL.
Yes, there's no doubt about that. This is a labor of love for him. He could be doing a million, billion other things with his life. Yeah,
when your dad owns FedEx.
Appreciate you, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep, no problem.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll wrap things up, take a trip through the Funhouse with Quick Draw before Inside Access takes over at 2. That's next here on The Fan.
Quick Draw's Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Well, on the topic of who do you trade to acquire pitching here for the Orioles, this texter says, for me, the veterans, Santander has to stay, as does Ryan O'Hearn. Prospects that I really want to keep, Kobe Mayo, Heston Kerstad, they should stay and play every day. If you must, I would be okay dangling Jordan Westberg in a trade. Hmm? They can't stand pat at the deadline.
Westberg.
I wasn't expecting.
He'd be
untouchable. I was with the texter all the way up until that last part. Yeah, Westberg's not going anywhere.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with any of those guys that they named being untouchable. Jackson Holliday is still untouchable for me, but I know there have been people that have become a little more lenient on that stance.
The only name we've been mentioned with Holliday, Norm, was Scoobal. That's it.
Right. No, and even then, it's a heavy debate to be had, which leads to texter Matt here says, bottom line for me, trading Jackson Holliday for anyone at the trade deadline would be a mistake. You never trade a prospect the caliber of Jackson Holliday when someone else is dictating the terms. Maybe you trade him down the line when you control the terms and control the proper return. There isn't a return of that magnitude available right now.
Yeah, I'm not trading Jackson Holliday, even if it's for Scoobal. I just love the fact how he was untouchable because he flew up the minor league rankings, and then as soon as he has the two-week bad stint at the major league level, everybody's done with him all of a sudden. I don't get that. It was kind of expected for him to struggle at some point. I mean, he struggled big time. I don't want to dress it up so, like it was something pretty. He was bad, but I think that Jackson Holliday is still going to be a really good player. He's working his way back now. I still think he's a big part of their future.
It's just not an Elias move.
It's not. It's a panic. You know. Like I would look at that as almost a desperation move. If you're willing to go that far to trade a guy that just a year ago you didn't want to even involve him in any talks, and now you're moving him, after seeing him up here for 2 weeks only, I don't know. I would look at that as a little bit of desperation.
And there's no precedent for it.
Right.
I mean, when does the top overall guy like that get traded so soon?
Right.
Or shortly after being drafted.
Yeah, and then 2 years from now, he's Bobby Witt Jr.
Exactly.
Or Gunner, you know?
Exactly.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.